Well, when I set a topic to speak on, it's always a wild ride. There's always an adventure and a series of experiences that illuminate the subject for me, and this past 2 weeks particularly has been no exception. In Phil's talk 2 weeks ago, he said something that just captured my imagination. He said, sharing is exponential. And I was pretty excited about that phrase, sharing is exponential. What does that mean? And so I was looking for evidence of sharing being exponential and what the vehicle was of that in the way the laws of the universe work, that I could speak to this week, because somebody at the last study group said, I hear that it's true, but I don't know how. And I wanted to find a way to share the how, at least the how as I understand it, the how that has worked best for me, and to watch unfolding of greater prosperity in my life and through my process for others, perhaps, this past week. And so things flowed, and something pretty remarkable happened, and I want to share the story of it, because it started several months ago. A person I hadn't seen in a couple of years came back into my life, and she made a suggestion to me before we even left on the cruise in July, that at some point we go out to lunch or dinner, because she'd had a friend who was practicing random acts of kindness. And she wanted to do this random act of kindness that her friend had done because it was such a powerful experience for her. She had gone out to dinner and paid somebody else's check before she left the restaurant. And so my friend said to me, let's go practice a random act of kindness. Let's go out to lunch or dinner. And we eventually determined that we could eat lunch about the same time. She eats meals at different hours than I do, so lunch was the one that matched up. And we found a date, and it was last Monday. And in the course of exchanging a number of emails about this idea, she said, I really want to give to someone who's in need. And she capitalized need. It was a big thing for her. And I wrote back to her and I said, I don't so much want to give someone to someone who's in need. And I wrote down what I wrote, because later on, as a matter of fact, just yesterday, I realized how what I wrote manifested in what happened. I wrote to her, on my side, the excitement doesn't feel to me. It is so much about giving lunch to someone who needs it. More like giving to someone who will find the experience inspiring, delightful, uplifting, curious, fun, or energizing, who will be touched with a sense of magical unfolding, who might be inspired herself to pay it forward and discover the joy of it. Yes, that's where the juiciest part is for me. Not an end in itself, a single meal's cost received, but a luscious moment that opens a doorway into generosity, increased prosperity, and virtual realities of fun times to come for the recipient and for us, too. So that was the intention I set. And it was inadvertent, because when she wrote about need, I felt the energy contract a little bit. It didn't feel like that was where I wanted to go, is to go look in the restaurant for people who were needy. I wanted to go look for people who were open to inspiration. That felt more exciting to me about what it was to come. So this is what happened. She said, you can pick the restaurant, but I have this place in mind. And I said, okay, obviously you know what you want. Let's go with it. And this is your game, and I'm very willing to play it. And she said, there's this place in Herndon. It's a Waffle House, and it's been there for 30 years. And the people who work there, all of them have worked there at least 20 years. And there's people who've been going there forever. And she said, it's filled with old ladies like me. Well, if it was old ladies like her, I knew it was going to be a hoot. So it was going to be fun. And so I said, sure, let's go. And so we got to the Waffle House, and it's a smoking restaurant. So we sat in the non-smoking area, which was the one table up against the window in the back, as far as I could tell. And I looked around, and it didn't look like Northern Virginia. It looked more like a farming community in Iowa. You know, it was not the people who were dressed to work. It was people who were dressed to work outside in the heat, you know, kind of thing, or people who were older and interesting clientele compared to the places that I normally go to. And so we sat down and we started to talk, and the restaurant was really crowded. And we ordered this fabulous lunch that cost hardly anything. And we just got into this conversation, and I hadn't seen her, and then we started telling stories of things that inspired us and places we'd gone and people we'd talked to and how beautiful life was and how abundant life was and how good it all was. And we got wrapped up in this conversation, and by the time our heads came back up and we finished eating and looked around, everybody had left. We were pretty much the only ones left in the restaurant. And she looked stricken, and she said, oh, we didn't do what we came here for. And I said, well, I have an idea. And she said, what? And I said, why don't we give the money to the waitress and ask her to do it and see if she would be willing to pass the money along to somebody who she knows would feel good about getting a meal as a random act of kindness. So she said, oh, that sounds good. You tell her. So I said, okay, I'll tell her. And so the waitress came to the table, and I told her what we wanted, and her eyes lit up, and she said, oh, that's a great idea. She said, I can think of somebody right away. There's a person who used to come here with his wife, and his wife died, and I would just love to be able to do something for him to cheer him up. And so she went off, and we felt really happy that we had accomplished our objective. And we sat and talked for a while longer, and before we left, the woman who owns the restaurant and manages the restaurant came up to talk to us, and she said, we've put your money in the filing cabinet. It was $40. I mean, we each kicked in $20. This was not a lot of money. And she said, we've put your money in the filing cabinet, and we already are talking among ourselves of all of the people that could be recipients of your gift, and it is just so nice of you to do this, and it's such an inspiration. And I didn't get it till yesterday that my objective had been accomplished. It was a person who was inspired by it, who was going to pay it forward. In fact, it was a huge number of people. The staff there is now all involved in this random acts of kindness activity. And when I came home and I thought about how good we both felt and how it kept growing, you know, the original idea just kept expanding, I thought, well, hi, Kate. Glad you're here. I thought, well, I got what I asked for about Phil's talk, about the sharing being exponential, that I saw so powerfully and so clearly how the sharing was expanded and expanded and expanded, that by our focus of attention on this idea and our talking about it and having it unfold over a 2-month period, that it kept growing. And the idea kept growing and the intention kept growing by our focus on it, so that a little bit went a long way. And when I thought about it, I remembered a passage from Wayne Mueller's book Sabbath, which is one of my all-time favorite books. And what he said is that in his foundation, which is called Bread for the Journey, they go into communities and do what they can with the money that they have available to uplift the community. And he said, we'd never go in and do a needs assessment. We always go in and do a resource assessment, because human need is infinite. But in every community, there are wise people, people who have great ideas, people who watch and know. And if you can find those people and give them a little money, it goes a long way. And how amazing that in those moments of this idea feels better to me in this moment, this idea feels better in me in this moment, that we ended up following his formula. We went into the community and identified the wise people who know where the resources can go and make the biggest impact. And we let go of having to see what the outcome was. The experience of it happening is independent of us entirely. We just said, start this thing flowing and see what happens. And that's the exponential aspect of sharing. It was such a tiny little moment and such a small amount of sharing, but it had a really big impact on me because it took in all of those pieces of creating a larger vision, setting a higher intention, feeling it, feeling my way through it, and allowing the inspiration of the moment to flow. So all of the parts of what I wanted to talk about today were inherent in that little incident in the restaurant on Monday. Because the story that always comes to me about abundance, first and foremost, is the story of the three stonemasons. And I bet most of you have heard it, but I love to tell it, so I'll tell it again. There are three men who are working, and they're all doing the same thing. They're breaking rocks in the hot sun. And this person walks up to the first man and says to him, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Are you stupid? Can't you see? I'm breaking rocks in the hot sun. It's dirty, ugly work, and I'd rather be fishing." And the second man, when he's asked, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm earning a good living for my family. I love my wife and my daughters. And I am so grateful for this job because it allows me to provide for them a livable home, and our family is blessed." And he walks up to the third stonemason and he says to him, "What are you doing?" And the man stops for a moment and he raises his eyes and this glow comes over his face and he says, "I'm building a great cathedral for the glory of God." And so each of them physically doing the same thing are inspired by a different vision of who they are and what they're doing. And so ultimately, as we act in life, the meaning is not based on our action. The meaning is based on the meaning we bring, the intention we bring, the purpose we have in taking the action. So if we come to study group and we set our intention, and we set our intention to receive love and to share inspiration and to share music and to share the gifts that we have, then coming to study group is a far more meaningful experience. That because we've brought the meaning here, it's a physical gathering of people in a hotel on a Sunday morning at one level, and it's a remarkable connected community who loves one another on another level, and it's God expressing, showing up to express love on yet another level. We have this opportunity to interact with life at any level that we can see. And so Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven." And several years ago, in one of my meditations, it said to me, the voice said to me, the feeling said to me, whatever it is that speaks, said, "Stop seeking and start seeing. See ye first the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom is within. This is it. Right here, right now is all we get. This moment, right now, is the experience of the kingdom of heaven if we allow it. It's the experience of whatever vibration we bring to it. It's the experience of not so good stuff if we bring not so good stuff. It's the experience of the love of God if we bring the love of God. However we bring, whatever we come to the interaction with, we get more of." And as I looked at the unfolding of the topics for Sterling Study Group over the next few months, I was just blown away. Because next month is Law of Attraction, and the following month is Forgiveness and Non-Judgment, and the month after that is Unconditional Love, and the month after that is Christ Consciousness. So it's as if somehow when it was all planned out, the children's program knew the question was going to be, I want to be abundant, but how do you do it? Because all of those pieces we are going to focus on in detail. How do you know how the law works? How do you engage in a conscious level with the unfolding of your life? How do you forgive and let go and be non-judgmental and don't carry around what you've been living in the past? And how do you find true unconditional love, and what is that? And how do you live the consciousness of the One in the physical plane? It's just so cool that we have the opportunity. I didn't have to stuff it all into one talk, which was really such a relief, because we have it unfolding over the next few months. And every time that we make an intentional choice to see at a higher level, every time we open to vision, we are asking the universe to show us how we can see it more expansively. How we can look at the divine life from the non-local perspective rather than the local perspective. To see that we are eternal and infinite now. We are abundant now. We are blessed in this moment. And how is it unfolding? So it's such a thrilling, thrilling thing. And when I looked at the curriculum for this month, it was actually the month of May rather than the month of August. We have this really skewed thing going on because we didn't start at the same time the children's curriculum started. So Judy had to make this really convoluted chart for us so we would know which month matched which month. And then, yeah, it all gets very confusing sometimes. And I looked at it, and May was Mother's Day. And the activity for this day was about seeing your mother and the acts of love in your mother. And I thought, well, that doesn't count. You know, that... that isn't what we're to do today. And yet, that's utterly what I came around to. And this is a chart I made of the acts of love of my mother. And I made it 7 years before she passed away. And I gave it to her the weekend David and I got married. I sat down and I said, I want to appreciate my mother. I want to truly see the love that she brought into my life. And so I started writing, and the more I wrote, the more came to me, because that's how law of attraction works. And I wrote, my mom wanted very much to be a mother and have a daughter. She trained chickadees to eat from her hand and allowed us to have that experience. She was always involved in the PTA. She made tons of cookies for classes and scouts. She wanted us to connect with God. She is a highly spiritual being, is very generous, good at handling and saving money. She made up the story about the snowflakes. She rocked us and read to us as kids. She loves us and is a great cook. She brought me beautiful dolls, has beautiful hair, is a great gardener. Welcomed Joe into the family, loved John and Cliff and David. She's good at forgiveness. She loves flowers. She makes great red pepper relish. She came and took care of me when I needed her. She did a great job of loving my cousin Francis's, my cousin Mimi's baby Francis when he needed her. She makes friends easily and is a loyal friend. She's a good driver. She went and got a job and asserted herself when I was 13 and was a good role model. And it goes on and on. It turned out there were 62 things that I came up with that one day that I appreciated about my mother. And so I just took a piece of cardboard and I made a poster out of it with a flower. And she took it home after I gave it to her and she cried a while. She took it home and framed it. And she later told me that she kept it on her wall in her room because when she felt bad about herself, touches me. When she felt bad about herself, she would go read it and remember that her love had done some good in the world. And when I was at her funeral, we had this on the table. And all of my cousins thought I had written it for the funeral. And I said, no, she's had it on her wall for 7 years. And it was a very powerful thing that connected us together. And she often mentioned it when I talked to her. She'd say, oh, I went and read it again. And she said, I cried again. And it felt so good. It felt so good to be loved and to know that my love was experienced by you. And so Larry's song this morning about a strong heart and a strong love is what this is all about for me today. Because the greatest gift we can give in life is our love. If we can bring our love and our abundance into the world as a sharing, it can come back to us exponentially. And so I did some things. I made the brochures. I give you an abundance of things to take home today. I made a copy of the brochures on abundance and prosperity that we did a couple of years ago, so you would have those if you weren't here for that. In the concept of how, I also made a copy of the check blessing that I've used in my life when I write a check to pay for something. It says, I bless this check as I write it. I bless the people to whom it is written. I am grateful they choose to do the work they do to provide for me the product or service this represents. I know I have a stream of pure positive energy coming to me at all times. So I give this out with love. There is always more for me, for God is my source. I am truly grateful for the dollars that came in so I could give them out now. Thanks to the universe, the service provider, the banks, and everyone else involved in this transaction, I know that what I give out in love returns to me multiplied. And when I went to print this morning, I actually changed a line in it. And it's funny because it's the line right in the middle that's not enough. There's enough. Thanks, Larry. It says now, there is always more for me, for God is my source. And what it said for the last, 8 or 10 years that I've been using it, it used to say, there is always more for me where this came from. Which could mean the same thing if you remember that where it comes from is God. But what I heard when I said that is the channels that had come from before. There is always more for me where this came from. And so when I left my job, that source, it didn't feel like there was more for me through that source. And when I inherited money from my family and when my parents died, it felt like that source had dried up. It wasn't available for me anymore. And so that statement, the way I had said it, it wasn't reading as expansive and limitless as I wanted it to. And so I made really clear for myself so I would get it, even if I wasn't in the most enlightened consciousness when I read this, that God is my source. And I know there are no limits in God. The other thing that came to me to put together for you this morning is this statement about living on purpose. And it's about sharing from the place of knowing that I am the love, I am the light. And I called it living on purpose. Today in all my activities, I choose to give the best of who I know myself to be. Through the vehicle of each blessed activity, the light of my being streams into the world. My love touches everyone I encounter, and I am touched by the beauty of their being as well. As I give the best of who I am, the best of life returns to me through sources expected and unexpected. God is the source of my supply and comes through many channels. I honor the energy of spirit incoming and outgoing in my life today. I see it in smiles and laughter, in new ideas and health and money, appreciation, freedom, eagerness, willingness, radiance, intelligence, and creativity. Everything I appreciate appreciates today. The good just continues to flow and grow and glow. That's my equivalent of I'm building a great cathedral for the glory of God. And so it is.
So it is.
So it is. Mm-hmm.